Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we're talking about what to do when leadership feels lonely. Why do you think that loneliness is such a common struggle in leadership?
Yeah, so the thing that popped in my mind, we were talking about this yesterday a little bit, is do you remember during COVID where they would like talk about this? They would say, we're all in this together, right?
Right.
Like, and I think there was a sense that in COVID we were all in the same ocean, but not all in the same boat. Like there was somebody that's people that sailed through COVID on, you know, a lovely catamaran in the Bahamas and was wonderful. Some were on a wonderful cruise ship that didn't rock.
That was not my journey of COVID.
No. And some of us like were in a rowboat thrown around in the ocean. And some of us were, you know, floating around in the little life vest that we had to blow up ourselves because the airplane went down.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I think, you know, we were all, yes, in the same ocean. We were all battling the same loneliness and the same COVID, but we were battling in different ways. And I think like, if we think about life and leadership like that, I think that's pretty accurate. Like the leadership struggles, there's a lot of similarities, and that's why you can pick up a leadership book and learn something from it. But there's also a sense of nobody actually truly knows what it's like to lead in your shoes.
Mm,
right?
That's really true.
Nobody knows what it's like to be in the position at your company. Your boss doesn't know. Even the person who used to be in that position doesn't know because it's changed. And so, like, I think that there's just a natural loneliness of leadership because nobody knows what it's like to lead as you. Nobody knows what it's like to have your personality in that position and deal with the personalities around you. And so, like, that's the reality of we can all relate somewhat, but we don't know. And I think that just fosters loneliness.
So I want to ask, I don't want you to share necessarily a time that you experienced loneliness in leadership.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah.
But I'd like you to share some of the factors that contributed to your loneliness in leadership.
I mean, I'll share a context that I think will help understand, I'll help answer the question. But yeah, I remember, and literally, this is what I did. I was in my office and I was crying in my corner of my office. This is back during COVID, so like 4 years ago. And I forget what was going on. It might have been somebody mad at me because we said masks, or mad because we said no masks, or mad because I don't know what was going on with riots or going on with police or whatever. But there was all like, there was just all this stuff out, and it was just this sense of this is too much. Nobody knows what it's like to be in this position, and just an overwhelmingness of I'm the only one that can move this forward in this moment, and I'm the only one that knows what to do. And then at the same point, if I have no clue what to do, right? And and I don't know if that makes sense, but I think like it's easy, again, it's easy in that moment. And why I say that, it's easy in that moment to say that I'm the only one that knows what this like, but there's a reality that every leader knows what that's like. And maybe you were a lot tougher than me and weren't sitting in the corner of your office crying, but like we all know what it's like to feel that way, to feel that way about what we're doing, whether that's in our parenting, whether that's in our marriage, whether that's like we've all been there.
Yes.
Just nobody knew the exact dynamics of everything that I was dealing with in that moment. And I don't even remember what the exact dynamics were, but like we all know what it's like to feel alone in that situation, but just not the dynamics. And so we'll say, well, nobody knows what it's like, but we actually, in a way, we all do. We can all relate with that, just not the same dynamics,
yeah.
Right?
For me, I think COVID, it was definitely COVID. There were two. COVID, it was the prayer service that we had. Mm. And as we couldn't meet in person, we decided to do that prayer service out in the parking lot.
And it was the day before Easter. Yeah.
The day before Easter. I could tear up just talking.
I know, right?
And cars pulled up, and we were writing, "We love you," on the windows. And yeah, and then the cars all just left. And I remember you, myself, and a couple other people were just standing there, and we were all crying. And it was just so hard. Because we didn't know what was coming next. There was no more we could do. And you could, the loneliness of people was very palatable. Yeah. As I'm sitting here crying.
As we're both going to start crying.
I know. It's tough to even talk about. The other one for me is leaving mission sites. Mm-hmm. I really focus on the team. You know, I serve you as you serve God's people, has always kind of been my phrase. But the moment that we leave, goodbyes are hard for me anyway, but the moment that we leave that family, have we done all that we could? Have we really left them better than we found them? Have we loved them well through the journey? And that moment, I'm feeling all of those things. That this is it. This is the most that we can do. Now, I know there's somebody coming behind us, and I know that there was somebody before us. But in that moment, I feel the weight of it. Yeah. And it's palatable. It's hard.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that at some level, like, I would love leadership not to be so weighty. But in some way, I wouldn't change it for the world. Because the reason it's weighty, and you made that so clear in both your examples, it's weighty because you care about the people, because you care about the mission. Like, if it didn't matter, if it wasn't weighty, then A, you'd be a horrible leader, and B, the job you're doing wouldn't matter. And I think because of that, there should be some weight of leadership. Hopefully not a, I've got to excel so that my family is taken care of, although that can come in sometimes. But hopefully a weight because you're crazy about the mission and the people that you get to be on this mission with. And that's a wonderful thing. Like, and I think sometimes within the midst of the loneliness or the weight of leadership, we just slow down to say that, thank you, God, that this matters. Amen. Right? I think that would just put us in a different place, I think. And again, we're not always going to be able to do that perfectly, but if we did that, I think we'd be in a better place.
Now, we meet to talk about what we're going to talk about on the podcast, but we don't script, right? So yesterday when we were talking about what we were going to do today, we got into a little bit of a debate. Has Jesus ever experienced loneliness? And I would love to throw that out there for our listeners.
And for sure, talk about that. It's an interesting to Jesus, and we'd love your perspective on it. Kind of as I was thinking it through, we see Jesus very clearly, like, go off by himself.
Yes.
Right? And it's easy to say that was him experiencing loneliness, and maybe so. But what I think separates Jesus from what I naturally do, not from what I should do, but what I naturally do in leadership, when I'm overwhelmed, I go off by myself to get my thoughts in order. Jesus doesn't seem to do that. He doesn't seem to go off by himself to be by himself. He doesn't do it to see, I got to get away from these people. They're driving me mad, so you go by yourself. He doesn't seem to do that. He seems to go off by himself for a very different reason. Right. And it seems to be that he goes off by himself to be with his heavenly Father. That the greatest thing he can do in leadership is not be by himself to get his thoughts in order, but be with God, his heavenly Father, in order that he would be renewed and would have the energy and the conviction and the effort to do the leading that he needs to do.
And to experience peace.
Yeah. Yeah. The peace that surpasses all understanding.
Right.
That comes not from himself or not being alone with his thoughts and feelings, but alone with God. And I think it's naturally a different way that, like, how we are as Christians countercultural. Like, a lot of times, like, even practices like yoga, like, get your thoughts in order. Or go on a vacation so you can kind of rediscover who you are. or find yourself some rest, or even how we talk about self-care is taking care of myself so that I can take care of others, right? That's, although there's value in that, although God cares about that, it seems to be different than what Jesus did. For Jesus, self-care was not being by himself. It was being with his heavenly Father. And so, like, what aspects of your self-care are actually not self-care, but being filled up by God?
So are you isolating to isolate where bad thoughts or other things that could distract you can come in? Or are you going to a space to really seek God and to be alone with God?
Yeah, that's the question. And I think, and don't get me wrong, I think there's value in both.
Well, there's value in Sabbath rest.
Yeah, but make sure that your self-care includes being filled up, not by yourself, but filled up by Jesus. I think that's my big point. And that's what we see Jesus doing in his loneliness very clearly in the weight of leadership and this huge mission he has to seek and save the lost, to eventually die on the cross, to teach people a lot of important things. And he, in the midst of having this big mission, he goes off by himself to not be by himself, but to be with God. And so is our desire to get away from it a desire to get away from it so that we escape in myself, or that I escape in God? And I think so often we as human beings is like, I want to get away to be by myself, when I'm not sure that's the Christian answer. The Christian answer is I escape to be with God, which is very different than I think how a lot of times how we approach it.
Was there a loneliness that Jesus experienced on the cross?
Well, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So yeah, like if we want to understand the loneliness of Jesus, he was utterly separated from God.
So that's the moment we could look at of true loneliness.
Yeah, although I don't think we even have a clue what that's like. And sometimes I'll explain it this way, that was actually hell. When Jesus descended into hell, it was that utter and complete separation from God. And that's something that we actually, as human beings, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that's something we never experience, because God is a part of everything in this world. And I'm not sure we ever experience a true separation from God. And so while that's an example of Jesus Christ being lonely, I that's not a loneliness that we would ever experience, because that is truly a hell on earth type of moment. God is completely absent in a way that none of us ever experience, even non-Christians.
When does loneliness become unhealthy for us? When does it start to impact us spiritually, emotionally, physically?
I would say my biggest concern is when it becomes easy to be lonely. If that makes sense. And I think my concern is people are hard, people are difficult, people are challenging, but yet we need people. But when that's easy for us, that's when I'm really concerned. When it's easy for me to say no to every social invitation, to have an excuse to not to be in worship, to not be around other people, when that becomes kind of easy for me, that's when I would kind of start to be concerned. I think loneliness is teaching you an important lesson that you need other people.
Yeah. We were made to be in relationship.
You were made to be. And so I think when you are lonely, I think say thank you. Hey, thanks for reminding me that I need other people. And I think sometimes in our loneliness, we can say this, like, well, nobody understands me or nobody knows what's going on in me. And I would say, yeah, you're absolutely right. But that very feeling reminds you that you still need other people who maybe can't understand perfectly, but, you know, but they're dealing with the same struggle. They're dealing with the same loneliness. And I would say we see that in Jesus as well. Like, Jesus gathered friends around him. He didn't need those people. And in fact, sometimes we see in the Bible where they're just a burden. They're just asking extra questions. They're just being a pain
having
in the butt.
Arguments, who's yeah. the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Peter. Peter's like, Jesus, you can't go to the cross. You can't die. Like, Jesus doesn't need help. He knows that. He knows he doesn't want to go to the cross. You think the dude wants to go die on a cross? Like, he knows. But yet, like, he's got this dude around him, Peter, who just is reminding him how awful the cross is going to be. Like, it's like, thanks, Peter. Like, Jesus doesn't need that. Like, and there's so often in our life where we can say that about our friends. Like, I don't need that. I don't need that negativity, or I don't need their unvarnished positivity. I need somebody who's more real. Like, yeah, you don't need that. But at the same time, you do. Like, you need people that are flawed around you, because every human relationship is flawed.
Amen.
You just need it. And so, yeah, I don't know. We just see Jesus value that. And so I think we need to do the same, even though it's not easy, right?
Yeah. When does the point of lonely, or when does the point where loneliness like almost becomes a pit? I forgot. Is it Princess Bride, the pit of despair?
the pit of despair.
But,
yeah.
But when does it become a pit, and how do we get out of that pit? Because it can swallow us alive.
Yeah, I think it can be. They did a lot of studies on this coming out of COVID. And I forget the exact studies. I can't find it again, but it was a fascinating study. Basically, what it said is that as we're removed from other people, we reach a new norm where we kind of become okay with the level of interaction we have.
It's like the frog in the kettle.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the frog in the kettle, as it heats up, the frog doesn't know that it's getting hotter. Mm-hmm. As you get less and less friends, you become kind of more okay with that. But what they said is that you're actually wired to need a certain amount of friends. And depending on who you are, I've heard it's somewhere between 6 to 12. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of people, though, right now, they say, have 1 to 2 close friends. That includes your spouse, right? 1 to 2 close friends that you can talk about. Who you can talk to, who you can have real conversations with, who you can have real relationships with. Most people have 1 to 2 close friends, which is most people actually need 6 to 12. But what they say is that we become so accustomed to this new level of friendship that when we first are in social interactions, our anxiety raises. It goes through the roof because of all these new social interactions. But what they say is once we integrate back into that, that anxiety will come down. But a lot of times what happens is we don't push through the anxiety to form the new friendships, and which is fascinating.
We let the anxiety just overtake us.
Yeah.
And we don't hit that point where we can build those relationships.
Yeah. But the other scary part about the study is it says if you don't have the right number of close friendships, your anxiety will actually be elevated as well. But now the weird thing about that is we have to elevate our already anxious. So I'm anxious already because I have less friends than I need. So I have to actually elevate that anxiety to get to a healthy place of no anxiety. Right, which is weird to think about.
Right.
So to fix my loneliness and my anxiety, I have to elevate my anxiety by being in social situations in order to lower my anxiety. Like that's the problem with loneliness right now. That the easiest thing for me to do is when I'm lonely, I'm also anxious, but people make me anxious, so I'm going to stay away from people. And we're actually not solving the problem. We're not solving the loneliness problem, the relational problem. And so, you know, to answer your question, I think we just got to get around people. We just got to be vulnerable to the fact that people are hard, which is the other problem right now is we have a lot of anxious people running around trying to make friends with anxious people, and anxious people don't make the best friends. So you're trying to make friends with people who are anxious, who aren't good at being friends, and you see the problem we're in.
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle, and so it's going to take some really bold and courageous people that, yeah, are willing to be vulnerable and try friendship out again. Mm. And I think we have great grounds to practice it here at Peace. And we do well in sometimes, and we have ways to grow in others. It's a crazy mess that we're in.
I know I've spoken about this before, but I experienced something around Christmas time where a friend of mine gathered kind of her circle of influence, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
There was somebody from her kid's soccer team and somebody from the school and somebody from this and that. And then there were three of us from Peace. And as she gathered all of us together, kind of explained why we were there, which gave us great value.
Yeah.
But it was a great opportunity to meet new people and make new friends.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit hard. I'm an extrovert, but I like deep, meaningful conversation. Yeah. And so I was a little unsure, like, oh, is this, what's this going to be like? But that deeper level conversation came. And you're right. There was a little bit of angst, anxiety. There was a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of awkwardness at first. But if you push through that, there's some gold there.
Yeah.
And it can be really a gift and a blessing. And sometimes maybe it's just gathering those people. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's taking a chance and having a game night or having a fire pit. And we're going to have some wine and we're just going to visit with each other. It's just being willing to reach out and knowing that you need that. You need those relationships.
And what's weird about this is I think if we talk to somebody that was asleep for 10 years and just woke up and they would talk about that event you went to and be like, oh yeah, we have those all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I think 10, 15, especially 20 years ago, those were commonplace to do that. And I don't think it was just COVID, but COVID just accelerated it. But we've kind of forgot just how to invite people over and be relational. Like we forgot how to do that. And I think it's going to take people like who you talked about doing things that are out of the norm to get us back to what actually how we've always operated as human beings, which is we're social. We're meant to be social.
And people love you. I remember going to a conference and the guy was saying, he was saying it to pastors, but I think it goes for everybody. You have no idea how loved you are. And people want to be around you.
Yeah.
And I think whether you're an extrovert, you're an introvert, you're incredibly social, you're a little bit more reclusive, people love you and they want to be around you.
Yeah.
Gather people, take the chance, see what happens.
Yeah, just
do the thing.
Do the thing. Yeah, would you if somebody invited you over to their house, would you go? Right? Well, do that for somebody else. Like, I think it's that simple. Like, if you could see yourself saying yes to an invite to go over and hang out with a few friends at their house, then do that for somebody else.
Right.
Just invite them over. Invite them out for a beer. Invite them out for coffee. Invite them out for, hey, let's go do this. You know, here's a date. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. Take the chance. Yeah. Do the thing. Yeah.
Do the thing.
What habits or rhythms can leaders build into their lives to ensure that they don't fall into a place of isolation, but to continue to foster those relationships?
Yeah, I think seeing part of leadership is leading relationally. Like if you're a leader and you're doing leadership things, how are you leading people to have a relationship with you? Like see that as a part of your leadership. I think it just is a part. There's been a lot of studies on like why pastors fail, like why they fall out of ministry because they did something wrong or whatever. And a lot of the trends they see, it's because of loneliness, because you're not the best leader you can be when you're lonely. And so make sure you gather people around you that you just enjoy being with. And so I think if you see leadership as part of what you get to accomplish, how do you also lead friendships? Because that's important. It's important for your spiritual and mental and physical health.
Yeah, and don't give in to the desire to be alone.
Yeah.
Push yourself. And it doesn't have to be every night. It doesn't have to be every day.
No.
But you can set your goal. I'm gonna do something once a month.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to up it to twice a month.
Yeah.
And just keep reaching out.
Yeah. Yeah. And find what your rhythm is. And I'll tell you what your rhythm can't be. It can't just be waving at some people at church. It can't just be once every once in a while. It can't be a few times a year. I don't know. It's got to be deep conversations once a month at least with people. I think that's a minimum. And if you're not having deep conversations once a month with somebody other than your spouse, like I think that's got to be a minimum for us. And it probably needs to be more like once a week. But once a month, I think has to, I don't know your thought on that.
Yeah.
I think that has to be the minimum.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think You've got to be willing to ask, how are you? How are you really?
Yeah.
And to go to that deeper level, because we can't survive off the shallow end of the pool. We've got to be willing to go to the deep end. But the flip side is, don't be deep all the time, right? It's a balance. But to really invest in people and to have maybe those questions that you've got, how is life for you right now?
Yeah.
How are you doing? Where are you seeing Jesus at work?
Yeah.
What's your biggest prayer right now? Can I pray for you?
Well, and I think too, to understand that different people need different things. Like, you're going to have a higher level of deep conversations than some people. Like, you know, some guys you might need to just go hit golf balls, like, and just, or ski and be in the same place.
Yeah, there's this side by side.
Like, you know, and I think so I think, like, knowing who you are and figuring out what you need. Do you need deep conversations? Do you need that every once in a while, but not, you just need to be with people. Like, I think it's finding out who you are and how God has wired you and understanding that, if you're friends with Donna, that means you guys are going to have deep conversations. Like, that's what she needs in friendship. All right. But like, if you're friends with other people, that's not always what they need, but people that you can live life with, that they know what's going on in your life, how the family's going, how your marriage is going, and at least know what's going on. Not that you're dissecting it deeply every time, but doing life with people is important.
What's your takeaway for leaders today?
Just have relationships. In leadership, relationships are a necessity. And that's coming from someone who's an introvert, who every time I have people over to my house, I get super nervous because I'm an introvert. And I'm not sure I'm looking forward to it, but understands biblically and understands in my experience that relationships are, they're imperative.
So I know we were wrapping up.
Yeah.
Now I got to ask another question.
Yeah.
So you get anxious, you push through the anxiety. At the end of the evening, are you glad you did it?
Yes. Every time. I've never had people over to my house or hung out with people and was like, why did I do that? That was a horrible idea. Now, beforehand, there's sometimes some freak out, right? Like, why are we having all these people over? I don't really want them in my space tonight. But I never regret it after the fact. I've yet to have that happen.
Yeah. Get off your cell phone. What did they say? This is the most connected time ever, right? Because we're connected on social media, but we're not connected face to face. Get off the phone. Do the thing.
Do the thing. Be with people.
Amen. And with that, thanks for listening to Jesus-Centric Leadership. We hope you have a great day.